The Up With The Bonnets podcast is brought to you by Hilltown Electrical. Hilltown Electrical deals with both domestic and commercial jobs. You can find them on Facebook or by contacting them on 07793 847 390. Hello and welcome to episode 89 of the Up With The Bonnets podcast. I'm your host, Paul Gray, and...
Whoa, Paul. Oh. Daddy's back.
Oh, here he is. Oh, it's good to have you back, mate.
Move out the seat.
I'm out the seat, mate.
The main man's back in the building. Nah, I'm only joking, God. Mate. Thank you very much for filling in and doing a brad job past couple of weeks hosting the pod, and also to Jake for filling in your position and doing an adequate job with the podcast.
I think we did all right.
You did good. You done really good. That actually thought I might not even come back. That's it.
Oh, no,
podcast,
mate,
has moved on for me.
No, mate. We need you here. I can't be doing this hosting malarkey. It's fine for a couple of weeks, but no.
Even listening to the podcast, I felt the sweat beads hitting off your forehead, and that would have been a long journey off your forehead, but I did envision them rolling down as you'd done the intro every time.
Sweating buckets, mate. Sweating buckets. I'm sweating now, actually. Thinking I was maybe hosting.
No, it's good to be back. Yeah, welcome to episode 89 of the Up With The Bonnets podcast. A few things to speak about, to be honest. I know it might seem like a wee bit of a lifetime away because most things happened Wednesday, Thursday, but as we always do, we'll be here Sunday to talk about it, which is today. I get a little bit rusty myself. I'm getting all muddled up here, Paul. But first and foremost, I just want to say a huge congratulations to your sponsor, Hilltown Electrics, or Electrical. Just not even saying the right name, not to annoy them. Well done to Martin Tosh and his Mrs. Joanne, who tied the knot on Saturday. All the best with that. And yeah.
Well, congratulations, done, mate. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. That's you. Lifetime of punishment.
That's it. Stunning dusted.
Aye, but here, let's just knuckle down and debrief about what happened last Wednesday. Will it, won't it? Will it take place at Dens Park? Will it go to McDermott Park? Ended up being at Dens Park, and it was a fine 0-0 draw for Dundee. A point, another clean sheet. 2 points closer to St Mirren in fifth spot, which now fifth spot is a European spot. I was just written in the stars that we would have got something in that game, I think, because of the whole malarkey that was on the follow-up to it. It was just ridiculous. Some Daily Record doing live blogs of the pitches going to be on and off, McBookie taking bets, which I think they maybe got some money off you and Jake.
Yeah, they certainly did, yes.
But it was a shit show, wasn't it?
And absolute disaster, mate.
Oh, man.
There was no need in that. There was just absolutely no need in that coverage of it. Only because it was Rangers.
No.
That's it.
I will look back at, I think it's season 2021, when we had four games against Ayr postponed in the one season. And there was not one mutter under somebody's breath that there was going to be a points deductions move at stadium, all that stuff. They were just happy enough to get the game on. I totally understand the top six scenario here, but I think you maybe touched on in the podcast. It should have been played at the first available free date, which was the week before. Let's not get into that. The fact is, they came to our wee pitch that they've totally belittled, and basically their title hopes sank.
They shat it, mate. Simple as that. That is it. But, mate, it was a proper battling performance from Dundee, eh? That's a performance to be proud of. Like, see the midfield? Everybody in the midfield. I think somebody tweeted it. It might have been the Dens Park Choir going, say the Sun gave Sulla the man of the match, somebody gave it to McCowan, somebody gave it to Cameron, and come on, I mean?
Aye, just seen like, that, yeah.
everybody. But
you had the pick of the bunch, Paul.
Absolutely. I sell it every day of the week for me, though. Man mountain of an individual. He was brilliant. But, mate, the thing was, like, every man kind of stuck to their task, and Rangers couldn't really break with down. Do you know what I mean? And that, see that kind of performance, like, see, for me, incredible. But that's the kind of performances you want to see against those teams.
Yeah. I think the whole media circus on the run-up, to be honest, the players, it would have been stuck in the players' minds for day one, as soon as the bad muffins started to happen, as soon as that Philippe Clement done every interview, and even when they got beat against Ross County, he basically put the fucking blame on Dundee about the build-up, no being ideal or whatever. I was just like, fuck off, honestly. Honestly, man.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's like, you're going for the title and you get beat. Then you blame it on another team, you know, especially one that you weren't even playing. The whole thing, I think it would have stuck in the manager's throat and the player's throat. And then as soon as they knew they got onto the pitch, that they were just going to ram it down the opposition's throat. And it's just a pity that we couldn't get the victory, because, you know what, as much as there wasn't loads and loads of chances in the game, I still feel like we possibly could have got and nicked the 3 points, especially at the end. When Derek Costello, he should have shot.
A boy needs to decide what foot he is, Danny.
I think it was his confidence with him, because he came into a game that was hard battling. But, and yeah, I mean, even in the lead up to the goal, I mean, I'll know how to criticise anybody, but I think his first four passes went straight into the Rangers, man. So he struggled to get into the game. And I think when he's seen the sight of goal, I think he... wouldn't even want to say bottle it, but I bottled it.
Rabbit in headlights.
Rabbit the headlights, aye. But you know what? He still put in a good display when he came on. I think defensively helped too.
Everybody put in the shift, mate.
Everybody put in a shift.
That's it.
I think, was there only one booking in that game?
It was Dodgson.
Dodgson.
It's fucking absolute disaster, that man.
Aye, but if you look at the first half, well, Luke McCowan got fucking Polak's at least three times in the space of 15 minutes. One of them, two of them, especially the one with Tavernier. Elbow, forearm, right in his puss at one point.
And then Lawrence nothing.
Twice. Yep. Even when the boy pulls him back when he's breaking away and...
Mate, I am so glad you brought this up, because I wasn't going to say it, but I'm going to say it. Because the build-up, obviously, with the pitch and that, Don Robertson, what was he saying? What was his main thing? Player safety, right? Player safety is paramount. I'm sorry, but every man and their fucking dog could see that McCowan was getting targeted for some rough treatment. And it wasn't just for Tav or Lawrence. There was multiple players just leaving wee nickels on him. Why's Don Robertson let all that go? That's a fucking... mate, player protection. Player safety. Nonsense, man. He couldn't give a fuck. He needed to book somebody there and then have a word with Tavernier and go, you better get your boys in check. It was an absolute joke. Anyway, rant over.
Anyway, yeah. I feel like you've kept in a lot of rants because I've not been here, in case you've been quite cautious in case we get in case you get the podcast cancelled, because you're known to...
What are you trying to say, Alex?
well.
I was on my best behaviour, I'll have you know. I kept Abdi in check, so don't you worry, son.
I'm saying it's the most popular thing that pops up on your Twitter when you first started doing this was tweet deleted. Yeah.
Yep.
But here, mate, moving on for your misdemeanors, we could have been 1-0 up within 30 seconds or 40 seconds. Oh. Boateng, eh? I mean, I would like to say, I just could not wrap my mind him being so far up that pitch for all that game.
He just sneaks in. He just ghosts in. I was kind of worried about him and Silla playing together, because I think the last time we seen that, I think it was up in Aberdeen, it didn't really work. But see, there against Rangers, oh, by God, did it work. God, did it work. Another boy that had a great game. But I mean,
he never had them too close either. That's one. He never had them close playing together. He had one of them away for the other. It's like separating two best mates in scale or something like that, because they're mucking about. It's like, you stay across there and you stay there.
Yeah, one at the front of the class, the other one at the back.
Exactly.
I was right, but yeah, he just came out of nowhere. I thought that was going right in the bottom corner, mate. Oh, man. I think I was barely in my seat as well. And that fucking happened. Oh, man. Oh. That would have been a great start. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it wasn't.
But I think there's not really much we can speak about in this game apart from it just was a polished, halved going performance.
The penalty shout.
Aye.
I think that's a Stonewaller, mate.
I think it hits his hand out the box.
I couldn't care less, man. It's a penalty. He's in the box. And then there's folk going, oh, yeah, but if you watch it from that angle, it actually hits his leg and then hits his hand. No, it doesn't.
No. But the way I've seen it was, he's in the box, but his hand's out the box, and it hits his hand out the box. So I don't know. Everything gets changed left, right, and centre. What's what? And even the offside rule for VAR's getting changed for next year. That's just going to be that's going to be our games. That's going to be fun.
I don't even know that.
Maybe no next season, but they're looking to implement something where the motion of the body and stuff like that. We've got to go and educate ourselves even more, which is hard.
Honestly, these people making up and changing these rules, they really need to get a grip. They've probably never played football. Come on, I mean. Mm-hmm. Fucking disaster. But I'm sticking with that. It was a penalty. Mm-hmm. Absolute penalty.
To be fair, if it was at the end of the park, it would have been given. It wouldn't have went to VAR.
I wouldn't have done. And see again, and I'm going to focus on this with Don Robertson and his officiating. He did the Aberdeen Celtic game in the Scottish Cup there, and he never gave Aberdeen a penalty that was an absolute Rick Waller. And he gives it for he gave a foul. You're never going to get a penalty against the Old Firm if he's in charge, honestly. Hopeless referee.
It just kind of goes back to the whole criticism of VAR, as in it's done good on certain times, but you know what? It takes the whole fun, the thrill,
it does.
You know, passion out the game.
Look at Coventry against Man U there. Fucking goal in the last minute injury time and called off because the boy's fucking big toes offside. Pish. Honestly, I hate it. I just get rid of it. I know it's, like you says, it's went in our favour a few times, but I'm sick to the back teeth at it, mate.
Aye. To me, it's no culling the game. That's going a wee bit OTT. Not too far away for culling the enjoyment for the fans.
Yeah.
Some of them decisions can scunner you, to be fair.
They can.
Just say you're a pay at the gate customer, and 2 weeks on the trot, a decision goes against you in the 91st minute, and you just think, I'm not bothered with this anymore. I'm not coming back. If you paid your season ticket, actually, you're gluten for punishment. You'll go back. For the walk up to the gates and stuff like that, customer. If that happens to you once too many times, then that's you.
Yeah, scunnered. Good word. Mm-hmm. I love it. What else happened? The disallowed goal.
Oh, aye. Yeah.
I was messaging the old boys. I was at the game. He was watching on the telly. I was like, was he offside? Was he offside? I think Tiffany and Bakayoko were offside.
Yeah.
Tiff didn't hate to do that. He made his run a wee bit too early. Good free kick.
That's the only thing about, obviously, in the house, never went to the games, never went to the Motherwell or the Rangers game. Obviously, because it's got a newborn, and watching it on TV, and you see it straight away, and you're just like, oh, fuck, he's well offside, eh? But then you get people messaging, you know, saying, that was never offside. It's like, it was.
it definitely was. Like I said, we were at the game, me and my mate Nathan, obviously we were sat in the coxie of all places.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually quite a decent experience, to be fair. I know everybody calls it the boo boy section, but it wasn't. It wasn't. There was some folk with some outlandish words they were saying, but that was about it. But honestly, mate, we were screaming that was a goal. Like I said, absolutely dead certain goal. But yeah, it wasn't.
Aye. But here, at the end of the day, it was a great point against a team who obviously stuttered the week beforehand, on the Sunday beforehand, up in the Highlands, and but who obviously were looking quite pretty before these two games, top of the league. So to get them at Dens and draw 0-0, especially with our record against them.
Yeah.
And if you put the other Glasgow team in, a record against the top two is, you didn't want to look, I'm not even going to say the stats. this is a great result, to be fair.
Go on, say the stats. You know,
I actually said that, Paul, because I've not got them. All right. Trying to cover for myself a wee bit there. So cheers for that.
I knew that. I think they said something on the TV. What was it? Like, it's the first time in about 31 games the Rangers haven't scored against us. Something like that. Which I thought was absolutely bonkers. But that just shows how good a defensive performance is. Well, wasn't it a defensive performance? It was just a proper team performance. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I put a tweet out on the D-Archive about that, saying it's the first 0-0 draw with Dundee and Rangers in 31 games.
Yeah, that was it.
2001, 2002. Fanzi playing and stuff like that way back, yeah, and I think that was a midweeker as well. But mate, it was a great point because it puts us two behind St Mirren. Nobody will expect us to get a point here, so we're in the top six. You covered that in great detail, in great excitement and jubilation. You're also drinking on the job, which I'll need to speak to you about later on.
No. No, Danny. I okayed it with you. I put a tweet out.
Fuck, forgot about that.
It's a great point, mate. It was a hard fought point. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We deserved it. And we're 2 points behind St Mirren now, who are very catchable. So look, I know I've been saying it a season that European football's coming to Dens Park, but here.
And obviously looking at after the Aberdeen game and Celtic, and I know we've kind of went on about the officiating in that game,
yep.
But you know what, it stopped Aberdeen getting to that final, and it'll benefit either us or St Mirren. I think us or them would go into the second qualifying round of the Conference League. Well, I think you've got a second qualifying round, then you go to the third, and then it's a playoff you've got to do. There's a hell of a lot of games to even get to group stages.
Honestly, Danny, I've absolutely no idea. But I think the second qualifying round is the one where I'm sure teams feel like the Champions League or Europa League drop in. Like, if they've been eliminated, they drop into that as well. I'm sure they do. But hey, look, I've looked at the dates. I've already submitted the holidays.
So what you're trying to say is whoever gets fifth spot will enjoy two games in Europe and then they're papped out.
That'll do.
So enjoy it when it comes.
That'll do nicely, mate. That'll do nicely.
Top six fixtures at home this Sunday against Celtic, 3 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. And then obviously home to St Mirren, which is massive, getting home advantage over them.
God, it is on Sunday, isn't it?
It's a Sunday.
I thought the Celtic game was on Saturday. Yes, I'll go to that. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Nick.
Then we've got Hearts away on the 11th of May, which, to be fair, that's Hearts' season done and dusted after losing in the semi-final of the Scottish Cup tonight, or today. I'm not saying that they're done tools, or I just didn't think they had the extra effort that they would do if they had somebody chasing them. Is that bad to say?
The one, desire.
You're kind of hoping. Yeah,
you're hoping. But mate, look, Hearts, we've beaten them once, and we've ran them close twice in those 3-2 games. So I think we'll sneak something there, mate. I think we will. Mm-hmm. Got a good feeling.
Then you've got away to Rangers midweek, and then followed up by the last game at home against Killie, who they've got 4th sewed up. Again, they'll be feet up, you know, on their thinking about their holidays before they're going into Europe. So that there as well, getting them at home, especially away from their plastic pitch, St Mirren and Kilmarnock both at home, I think, were massive to get.
Yep.
So you're getting even like one of them away, you'd be thinking, oh, I think that totally knocks your chances a wee bit. But I think having them two at home, could be a wee 6-pointer there for that.
I think we'll be unbeaten in all 5 games. Mate, I do, honestly. Celtic, look, we'll speak about Celtic, but I think we'll sneak some in there. That'll be a draw. St Mirren will win. Hearts, that's a potential win there. Rangers, draw. And then Killie, 2-2 draw. Because every other game's been 2-2 with them. So, look, mate, I'm telling you.
Have you seen our top six stats since it was introduced?
No.
It's something like played 15, 1-2.
Well, look, this is the season where we're going to, you know, get rid of all those shitey statistics and better them, you know?
Well, there's been a few knocked out the window already this season, so it could be, it could be.
Exactly, mate. Exactly. I have a really good feeling that we will get that fifth spot. I really, really do.
Here's our top six record. Played 15, won 2, drew 3, lost 10, with a goal difference of minus 21.
Yeah, that sounds like the Dundee of yesteryear. We're talking about the Dundee of now, Danny.
But if we look at it the other way as well, we're looking at St Mirren, who got into the top six last year and were beaten in 5 of them. It's going to be exciting. You know what? It's one of those where we, for made top six, we now know what we're guaranteed to make prize money-wise. If we never made top six, the potential we could have went down to 8th, 9th and lost out money. Now we know that's there. The budget will probably be set in stone now as well. Obviously, there's rumours about the Burnley tie-in, so will we see a bigger budget than normal?
I was thinking about that, actually, Kim. Like, because loads of folk have been going, well, you're going to lose all your loan players at the end of the season. Oh, you're going to lose all, you're going to rebuild the squad. I bet you any money, Doc and the team already had a list of players compiled. Right, if we're bottom six, or if we stay up, these are the players we're after. And then, obviously, that's now changed. And Doc said it in all these interviews, you know, the targets have changed, like, throughout the season. So that list of players that he's probably looking at has probably changed because we're now in the top six. We get into Europe, it'll change again. I'm telling you. We have the plan in place, Danny. We're going to romp it next season.
It's different games to what it's normally been with us. Because normally, if we never... We've put money into the back room at Dens Park or Gardine, again, whatever way you want to look at it. We've got people that are doing the XYZ stuff, you know, yeah, looking at players that this, he's done 80 passes in that game. 71 of them went to a man. There's a point for him. You know, I can all that stuff. And I'm pretty sure somebody says, or somebody's kind of let slip that maybe we might hear use of Burnley's scouting because of the link in.
Oh, yeah.
So we've also got the backing of them because it's their owners that are doing it and it's their owners that are potentially getting involved with us. So we could hear that as well. It's not just like yesteryear where it would have been, if you finish 7th, you've got to take so much off the budget. You finish 6th, kind of, you've got a bottom 6 target of players. If you're finishing the bottom 6, if you finish top 6, you've got that. I think it's a case of, nah, they can't exactly what they're wanting. And that's what they're going to do. And they've probably had a list of players lined up. I wouldn't even be surprised if there's been one or two players already sounded and signed up on pre-contracts. And that's what they're going with. I just think stuff behind the scenes is always like moving 6 months ahead, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's not just waiting until May, the end of the season, then looking. I think they've been looking at people we can start the year.
Absolutely, mate. I'm 100% agreeing with you, mate. Totally. I think the preparation is key. I know this season's still ongoing. Yes, I do. But I think the preparation for next season will be in full effect. Like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the expression again? Fail to, what is it again? Fail to prepare? To prepare to fail.
You also got the extra, the wee extra thing if we do manage to overtake St Mirren and get a European spot is that you go into the last 16 in the League Cup.
Oi, oi.
So we didn't have to worry about getting papped to the group stages. We just have to get into the last 16 to get beat there for some League 2 team.
That's brilliant, mate. That's great news. A nice wee cup run. Say it every bloody year, but a wee cup run. Come on.
Say it every bloody year, mate, and it never happens. You've got to learn to let things go.
We're going to have a cup run. We're going to have a European tour. It's brilliant, mate.
Would you hear the cup run in the European tour, or would you want a cup run at him?
I want them all.
You want? You just want them all. Yeah.
Just want it all, mate. I want it all. I want it now.
Right. What else has happened? Owen Beck, PFA Scottish Premiership Team of the Year. Well done. Fantastic. And that's voted by the fellow players in the league. Massive. Massive. Because I think these kind of hold more weight than other awards because it's voted by people that you've played against. And I'm pretty sure you can't vote for people that are in the same team. So De Gea Phelps Rose picking him out, though I'm really gutted Luke McCowan.
Yeah, mate.
Never got into that. I think that's been a travesty.
I know it's the players that picked it. Some people still didn't even realise it was the players that picked it. How's he in there? It's the players picked him, mate. But like, how is Lundstrom above McCowan in these players' eyes? I don't get it. Mate.
It's utter madness.
Absolute nonsense. Like,
I know how it is. It's because Luke McCowan's so good. Boys are jealous.
That's exactly what it is, mate. He's having the best season of his life. And long may it continue.
It's still funny, like some people still think he plays on the wing. I've seen a few people still comment about him being a winger. It's like, he is not a winger. He is bang in that centre midfield.
He was a winger, but he's no now. He's matured into that role. What would you even call it? The number 10? He's just...
Number 10 role, aye. Yeah,
the number 10. He's what a season he's having. But fair play.
If you listen to were you in the player interview we did with the podcast?
No.
No, he said that in his interview. He's always been in the middle. That's his preferred position, is in the middle. He doesn't like playing out in the wing. No, he doesn't like playing in the wing. He prefers to be in the middle. That is what he's more comfortable playing at. And you can see that. He's just fitting into that role big time.
It's not the number 10 role, Danny. He's an orchestrator. That's his role. He is. He is the orchestrator. See, just when he just gets the ball at his feet and just picks out a pass, hits a shot, whatever. He's just brilliant. But we're meant to be speaking about Owen Beck here.
It's because he's still injured.
Well done, Owen. Thanks, mate. He deserved to be in there. His performances that first half of the season were absolutely sensational, man.
Nobody's been able to, you know, go above and beyond his performances on the left-back position. And anybody in any club, yep. And he's missed a good whack of the season.
Exactly.
Well, the good whack of the second half of the season, and nobody's been able to do better than him. Mm-hmm. Speaks volumes, doesn't it?
I'd feel hard done by if I was a Killie player, so there's a couple of boys in their team that probably could have or should have been in it. I like the boy Armstrong, yeah.
Danny Armstrong is he's one that should be. I seen somebody put a tweet saying, in all honesty, I've not seen anybody that's been a total standout at Cully, and then boys just started flinging names at him, like Danny Armstrong, you know, Vassell up top.
Vassell, yeah.
He's
a good player.
Yeah, and even the boy Mayo at the back, I think he got sent off against us, but he's been a good player as well. I mean, they've got players there, and but it's just unfortunate. But yeah, well done to Owen Beck. That's fantastic.
I think there'll be a couple of Dundee players in the team of the year, though. You know, like that's voted by like whoever. I think McCowan will sneak into that.
He's got to.
And if we get Europe, Doc gets manager of the year.
Aye.
I think it was Sutton that said that after.
Sutton
the game.
Said that. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't normally agree with him, but I agree with him on that 100%. Like.
Yeah. Oh, there's plenty of contenders for manager. I mean, to me, Dirk McInnes is up there because he's took a team that struggled last season, totally brought in his own squad, and he's got them sitting four. So I think Doc would hear the edge because it's his first season as manager. If he manages that, that's what might get him over that threshold.
Yeah.
But it's there's plenty of juice from, to be honest. But he's not too far away from it, mate. Especially if he manages to deliver something that we've not had in, 21 years, you know. It'd be massive.
Gate to Clement, massive. Just for the meltdowns.
Yeah. What else has happened? Right, the disciplinary verdict, the SBFL. Where do we start with this? I mean, we knew we were going to get fined. Mm-hmm. They actually put the wrong figure on the SPFL website, Dundee's released a statement saying the fine is in fact 150,000, of which 120 suspended until the end of season 24-25. It will be automatically triggered in an event of a single waterlogged pitch postponement next season. So before we go on about that, there is an additional 36,429.60 payable as compensation to the SPFL for the television and specialist, the pitch specialist costs. So kind of hammered, half expected, but so no matter what, if there's a red weather warning and the whole Scotland's flooded, if we've got a waterlogged pitch, that's it. We'll just find the 120 grand and that's it.
Even if every other game's called off, and mate, it's an absolute fucking joke. I don't know where they've plucked the figures from, eh? I really don't.
No, it should be, I think it should be along the lines of Dundee, you've got to give them guarantees that they're going to sort out the bits of the pitches that need sorted out. Because I know, there's been articles today in the Courier about, I think Peter Marr was interviewed, and he went on about the drainage down on Dens Road and stuff
sewer.
Like that.
Yeah.
So I've got that, but then the water company are saying they've had no complaints about anything. And all that.
I don't buy that for a second.
No, Dens Road was absolutely flooded 1 or 2 years ago. Like, the water was running down the streets as well. So that's a bit of a Billy Boucher excuse.
Floods all the time. Mate, it floods all the time. And I'm sure we touched on this many an episode ago where I'm sure I said it won't just be Dundee that's obviously involved in this. It'll be like, yeah, the council, whoever deals with the drains, there'll be so many like people involved in it. And I just think everybody's pointing their fingers at each other. No, it's your responsibility. No, actually, it's yours. Oh, wait, no, it's yours. So, but someone needs to give, eh? And it needs to get fixed. It's a fucking joke. But Peter Marr's his interview is absolutely spot on. Brilliant.
The only thing about that is you'd get people then arguing, saying, well, that happened when Peter Barr was in charge, so why was the pitch so good up until a certain point? I know the Secretary of Dundee came out and mentioned climate change, which as soon as that was mentioned, I was shaking my head and I was like, oh, Jesus. That's something like I would not have thought would be a very sensible thing to say, especially considering with the only pitch that was called off for good. We know there's problems there. Let's not bring a bloody global warming into it. But the pitch has been able to hold up until there's been rumours of not as much money getting spent on Dens. So I think that kind of goes into it as well. I think there's been the drainage at Dens Park, and I think also I've done it. I don't really know. I couldn't really say, but you hear it all the time about money not getting spent on Dens because obviously they want to move to a new stadium.
Yeah.
So is it a case of neglect?
I think it probably could be, mate. Or it could be, like it says, with this drainage system, it's just worsened over these years. And like Peter Marr said, that sewer system's now, there's more houses that are connected to it as well. And it's obviously it's at capacity, so it's fucked. So, but they're not exactly going to go and dig up Dens Road, are they?
No.
They're not.
I wouldn't be surprised if the SPFL had to get reassurance for Dundee to say that work's going to get done at Dens. I know the pitch was relayed in the summer, but that was the pitch getting relayed, but they're going to have to go deeper than that to sort out the problem. So you're looking at the pitch getting torn up and then digging right into the foundations. The whole thing might collapse if you do that. Yeah. But you might, you know, diving in to where the pipes are for undersoil heating and drainage and stuff like that and getting to the bottom of the problem and renewing whatever's happened there. But it's still this whole one game off a waterlogged pitch, and that's you find that is just utter ludicrous. See, if we know Dens Park's going to be called off for a game, they should just put it signing to the sports clubs and say, right, lads, everybody do me buckets, we water, especially if it's in the winter, and fling it round other pavements in the streets round Dens Park to get a call after that. Then let them near the pitch to say, oh, it's the outside. You kind of get to the pitch, it's unsafe for the fans.
I just think the amount that we've been fined is absolutely mental. I really do. I know 120k suspended, but I mean, that 120k will need to be just sat in a pot, you know, just in case a game gets called off. I just 150 grand for games getting called off is absolutely ludicrous, mate. Fucking Barcelona got fined like, what was it, 32,000 euros for racism. Come on, I mean, like, and Dundee are fined this for waterlogged pitches. It's unbelievable, mate. It is. So unbelievable.
It just shows you that the Scottish governing body just make it up as they go, mate. That is exactly what it is.
Somebody made a really good point. I can't remember who it was, and it was like, obviously Dundee, yes, they are going to have to spend on the pitch. That's an absolute given. But a fine, being fined basically that amount, that's kind of counterproductive, because that money would have potentially have went to fixing the pitch. Come on, mate. Mm-hmm. So it's absolute fucking nonsense. And where was the fine for the Rangers fans when they were setting off their flares and that? Where was their
fine?
They got a slap on the wrist and told, don't do it again. That's what happened to them.
That's again, just shows you just the people that run, they don't want to deal with them, but they'd rather deal with us and hammer us like that. They don't want to upset. Because look, they don't want to upset Rangers and get statements handed out about bringing the game in dispute and all that, like what we got for them. Well, actually, we've not even spoke about that. They're absolutely statements that the boy definitely typed out with his header. Honestly, he just headed that keyboard. And that's what came out with that. That's what made them dropping 2 points even sweeter. But yeah, mate, there's plenty of events that have happened that you think, well, they've got no fine for that, they've got a fine for that, or that, that. But then here's teams like us, you know, and fair enough, I'm not trying to stick up and say we shouldn't be, because I think since 2021, 15 home games have been postponed. That's just ridiculous. And at least 12 of them have direct impact on the pitch. I just think to see a free hit, just try and make thingy of a team and say, like, get your...
Make an example of it.
An example.
Yeah. But the thing is, mate, see if this was Dundee... See that match, if it was Dundee against Livingston, none of this would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
None of the... No. All these astronomical fines and stuff. And it just because one of the ugly sisters was involved. Unbelievable, mate.
See, one thing I would say. So what happens if two games get called off for what log pitch?
None. I think it's just the 120k fine and that's it. But then, if we have another game called off, well, we'll probably get hauled up for a disciplinary or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They just hate Dundee, mate. No one likes us, but we don't care.
We don't care. Move on. This Sunday's game against Celtic, against the lads that sent up the pitch coverings that really annoyed Rangers.
Cheers,
wonder if we're just like at the end of the game when they're getting on their team bus, hey, look, you going to tuck them back now?
There's plenty of room on that bus, got any?
Come on, eh?
Fair play to them. They obviously wanted us to play Rangers. That was their main incentive to give us it. And like I says, it was probably a return payment for the email that we never sent.
Oh, mate. Email gate just... That was just...
Went in overdrive, eh?
Oof. Honestly, that just went nuclear, didn't it? Jesus.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant seeing so many seething Rangers fans, eh? It was brilliant. with the exact same pattern, honestly. It's like they were just cut and paste, using the same line. It was brilliant. But yeah, cheers, Celtic, for the covers. It's greatly appreciated.
But take them back when you're leaving on Sunday.
Yeah.
yeah, so you seem quite optimistic about this game.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty chuffed that it's actually, I've just found out it's on the Sunday. I thought it was the Saturday, so I wouldn't be going, but now it's Sunday, I'm definitely going, like, yeah, class. Mm-hmm. But yeah, mate, look, the last time we played them, what was it? It was the 7-1 game, and... Everything came off for Celtic that night. Absolutely everything. I think they only had 8 shots on target. 7 went in. Anyway. But I was feeling confident before that game, because when they played Motherwell the week before, they were absolutely shite.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were crap. And they just sneaked out with 2 late goals. And then watching them against Aberdeen there in the cup, they were shite again. So I'm feeling confident, mate. 6-0.
Paul's struggling to contain his laughter. He just says it. He's saying it. He wants to believe it. But his body just tells me that he doesn't really think it. I mean, we've got to go back now. Since we last won against Celtic at home, we've got to go back to the 24th of September 1988.
88? I was going to say 89, because I'm sure you've mentioned this.
Yeah, so every time we play Celtic at Dens, we will bring up this stat saying it's been a hell of a long time since we've last beat them. Tommy Coyne in the 28th minute. Shows you how long ago it was. Tosh McKinley was in the Dundee team as a youngster.
What date was that again, Danny?
1988. September the 24th.
I was literally just 1 year old. That's unbelievable as well. I just want the Dundee that turned up against Rangers the other night. That's the Dundee that turns up on the Sunday. Simple as that, mate. Mm-hmm. That is it. And I noticed that, and a couple other people noticed it during the game against Aberdeen. See their fullbacks, their wingbacks leave that huge gap. I'm telling you, just dink the ball into there. That boy Taylor, that boy Johnson, they're absolutely louping. Just dink that ball into those areas for Tiffany. And they hate across to the back post. They fucking hate it. So let's do it. Big backer. Bumpf.
They've been that used. They're that used to coming up against teams that just sit in, that mm-hmm. they get the comfort of knowing that their fullbacks can make them runs and then no have to burst a gut to get back.
Yeah,
because if somebody's getting can 9 times out of 10 the opposition team get the bar, they punt it, and it's just it's blindly punted as well. It's no looking for a boy, so they get that. So if Dundee've got their wits about them, you're right. Get it to a boy that can pick out a pass. Cameron
or McCowan.
I
want to see Dara Costello running at Taylor, and I want to see Tiffany running at Johnston. I'm telling you. Or getting into that space in behind them. And me and my mate Nath were saying this, and at the Rangers game, we were speaking about Souter, and then we were speaking about Liam Scales and how they're held in such high regard as like the best of the best centre halves in the league. See, when they're put under pressure, they're stinking, mate. And this mm-hmm. they didn't get that pressure from any team, so they can sit back and they look like they're prime Baresi. they're no. I'm telling you, get into that space behind the fullbacks and run at that boy Scales. I'm telling you, I want to see Baka absolutely bully Carter Vickers as well, mm-hmm. and I think he will. 6-0 Celtic.
6-0 Celtic, because we put too many men on the wing, so we had nobody in midfield. We lost the battle in midfield.
That's exactly it. I think he'll go with a similar... I think he'll probably go with the same team.
I would not be against that. Nothing's really worked at all against Old Firm, and he's done that against Rangers, and it's worked. I was like, why not just do it again against Celtic, just to see if that sticks as well?
I think it will.
Didn't he overthink it too much? Just keep it the way it was, because we got a lot of praise for the midfield. And I kind of think that Brendan Rodgers might be thinking we change it for them as well, because we seem to change it all the time against Old Firm. I think he might think we'll change it. Just keep it the same, see what happens. And even if he does think this is the way they're going to play, I still think we're quite solid in midfield. Obviously, yeah. they've got like the bigger budget, they'll get the better players, and they will have better players on the park, but if we can just get in and get stuck in like we had done on Wednesday, then there's no reason why we can't think about getting a result against them.
Exactly, mate. Exactly. And the thing is as well, with obviously Silla and Boateng in the middle of the park, one of them just stay on McGregor like a fly on shit. And what was it in the Aberdeen match? I'm sure it was the boy Clarkson, or was it Bannon? Barron. It was one of them two. He basically man-marked McGregor out of the game. McGregor hardly mm-hmm. touched the ball. He got subbed after 60 minutes. Do you know what I mean? So one of you guys on him, fly, shit, you know what to do. And put him in the air.
McGregor's the one you've got to stop. He's the man that makes that Celtic team tick.
Yeah. And didn't fucking put daft tackles in on that Kyogo because you know what he'll do. You'll know what he'll do.
Oh, you'll roll about. You'll roll about.
He'll go down.
You'll kick his ankle and he goes down, holding his nose or something. Eh? It's like...
Fucking breathe on him, you'll go down.
I think if we probably give away the missed penalties or something this season, we'll be up there near the top.
Probably.
It's just keep your wits about you. Just keep your wits about you. Nothing stupid. If Dodgson's playing, keep your hands off the back of players.
Thanks
for that a few times. He was really good
against Rangers. He's come on a really good game, and I'm really impressed with him. I had him kind of written off, but because these mistakes he'd made, but he's learnt from those mistakes, and he's looking like a really good player.
Mm-hmm. I think the system he was flung into only suited Owen Beck.
Yeah.
That's it. Never suited him, and he was found out. But I feel like when he's came in and they've been playing kind of like a flat back four, he fits in there.
Yeah, he does.
And you notice them starting to make a few good runs into the box, finding his feet and whatnot. Saying that, if Owen Beck's back for injury, I don't know when he's back for injury. It's like, get Beck in.
I don't think Beck will get in. If Dodgson's playing that good,
How long have we got of the season left? We're still no any further ahead on where he is on coming back. We might not even see him at all, to be honest.
He's still down in Liverpool.
Yeah, I didn't think we'll see him. I didn't think we'll see him again. I think the updates kind of say to me is it's going to be the summer or Liverpool. Maybe they don't want to put him back up. They want him to just get over his injury, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I kind of get the feeling.
I agree with you, mate. I don't think we'll see him again. Which is heartbreaking, but...
Aye. But in a weird way, because he's not been in the team for a wee while, it doesn't feel like we're missing him loads. Is that some bad?
No.
We do miss him, but I feel like we're still getting round the day in our business without him being there. Though, when he is in the team, I mean, his runs are fantastic. His tackles are fantastic. And taking on boys are all fantastic as well. What am I saying? I'm fucking missing them already. Get them in the team.
I know what you mean, mate. I know what you mean, but kind of Docherty touched on this in his post-match interview at the Rangers game where he's, obviously, they're speaking about Shaughnessy going off and then Portales stepping in and it was seamless. It's kind of been like that where, obviously, Beck going out, Dodgson, okay, he's now it's like it's seamless, you know? And I've always said that. I feel like, with the guys that we've got on the bench, they're more than prepared to bust their gut to actually stay on in the starting 11. You know what I mean? I wonder, any update on Shags?
I've no heard nothing. Mate, I've got a newborn baby in the house. Me, news.
Have you?
I'm not hearing that. I'm not hearing that at all. Honestly, asking me these questions. You're meant to be the man who's got the notes.
I'm sure there was an article, but I haven't read it yet, but it didn't look a good one. Eh? What was it, 9-10 minutes? And it didn't look good. As soon as he went down, I was like, I see his knee. And then when I watched the highlights again, I think he was hugging his left knee. Nah, it didn't look good, speedy recovery. But again, you've got a player like Portales, you know, that can just come in, and him and Lammy had a brilliant game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I mean, Lammy's obviously signed up for next season, and he's not really featured much since he's came back from injury, so this was his moment to probably grab his spot. And yeah, he was solid, absolutely solid. I've just been looking at the weather on the run-up to the Celtic game. It looks fine until Saturday night, a wee bit of shower, but that's about it. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So there might not be any point in moving this game to Marv's.
Nah, definitely not. I'm looking forward to that. I'm still chuffed at this on Sunday. Class, man. Oh, wait, we'll hit record the podcast. I'll hit you stay sober.
Oh, yeah, bugger. That's like a dagger to the heart.
I'm just going to tell you now, Danny, I will definitely have a couple of beers before and after that game.
I'm going to record that right bang on at half, full time.
Oh, are you? I'll just stay for the pub then. Here, Jim, can I use the lounge?
Sitting there with your pipe, your scarf.
That's the way it should be done, mate.
And your neck and your laptop up by podcasting
and fruise. Coming to you live.
I don't think there's much else to speak about, is there, mate?
No, I don't think there is.
Everything's kind of been done and dusted, isn't it? It's Wednesday onwards. Me and Paul were going to do a podcast Thursday morning, but again, I didn't want to sound like a broken record, but things just got in the way in my main life, so.
I'll let you off, mate.
Yeah, but we will be back next week. Unless, Paul, you got anything else to say?
No, nothing at all. That's me, mate.
None at all. Perfect. That's what I like to hear. That means that you've not said anything silly and we still aren't cancelled. Yeah, but again, congratulations to Martin and Joanne from our sponsors, Hilton Electrical, on getting hitched. And I hope the honeymoon is fantastic. And we will be back next week to speak about the Celtic game and to go over a 6-0 victory that Paul predicted.
Can't wait, mate.
You never said 6. I think you said for who, though. You just can't say 6-0.
We'll see.
And then we'll preview the St. Mirren game. And we'll speak about anything else that happens along the way. But hopefully, we'll get a little bit of breather from the media. And it's just a case of speaking about the Celtic game and looking ahead to the St. Mirren, because, my God, we've been in the media too much recently. Catch you later.